Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. After this, all the sannyasis took the Lord into their midst, and thus they all took their meal together. Purport. Previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had neither mixed nor talked with the Mayavadi sannyasis, but now he took lunch with them. It is to be concluded that when Lord Chaitanya induced them to chant Hare Krishna and excused them for their offenses, they were purified. And therefore, there was no objection to taking lunch or Bhagavat Prasadam with them. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that the food was not offered to the deity. Mayavadi sannyasis do not worship the deity. Or if they do so, they generally worship the deity of Lord Shiva or the Panchopasana, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Durga Devi, Ganesh and Surya. Here we do not find any mention of the demigods or Vishnu, and yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted food in their midst, in the midst of the sannyasis, on the basis that they had chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and that he had excused their offenses. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we find something quite surprising here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking his prasadam along with the Mayavadi sannyasis. It's the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has previously condemned any form of association with the Mayavadi sannyasis or hearing anything from them, what to speak of partaking meals with them. Mayavad bhasha shunile hoy sarvanash. So he has proclaimed earlier also that if one hears from the Mayavadis, one will be destroyed, meaning thereby that one's Krishna consciousness will be destroyed. Association is such an important thing. Even someone like Hiranyakashipu recognizes the importance, and he preaches that association is like a crystal stone, it reflects whatever is near it. So we also reflect the association that we accept. If we associate with materialistic people, then very likely we will also become materialistic. If we associate with Mayavadis, we will also be infected by their mentality, so to speak. Similarly, if we constantly associate with devotees of the Lord, we will also become devotees. So Mahaprabhu's principle is very sound. And essentially, we should not associate with non-devotees. That is what Mahaprabhu explains. And there are different kinds of non-devotees. One kind of non-devotee is the one who is an atheist, doesn't believe in God. Another kind of non-believer or non-devotee is one who may worship the demigods. Another kind of non-devotee is one who is extremely materialistic and very attached to sense gratification. And a Mayavadi is also another type of non-devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised everybody to avoid association of non-devotees, especially if one is keen to progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. Having given so many warnings about this, how is it that Mahaprabhu is taking prasadam with them? Of course, we must remember that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also a Mayavadi previously. But Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Lord, was so potent that he could convert Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a pure devotee. And thereafter, he was regularly accepting prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And the first time when Mahaprabhu came to his house, then Sarvabhauma had prepared innumerable offerings. And Mahaprabhu at that time said, "How is it possible that you cooked so many offerings in such a short time? And I cannot possibly eat all these things." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya reminded Mahaprabhu that in the temple you eat 56 times a day, meaning that in the Lord Jagannath's temple, the Lord accepts 56 offerings every day. So for you to eat this humble offering, you know, is not a big thing at all. So happily Mahaprabhu sat there and accepted prasadam. Because now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been converted. He was no longer a Mayavadi. He was no longer an offender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Why are Mayavadis considered to be offenders? This is what the Bhagavatam says also. Yenye ravinadaksha vimuktamaninas tvayyasta bhavada vishuddha buddhayaha aruhiya krichena parampadam tataha patantyado anadrita yushmadangrayaha. So those who are impersonalistic, they imagine themselves to be spiritually very advanced. And they think that their intelligence has been purified. They think that they have achieved the highest destination, which in their conception is to become God, to merge with the impersonal absolute. But despite the fact that they have performed so many hard austerities, they actually, in all likelihood, will fall down again into the material realm. Why so? Anadrita yushmat angrayaha. Brahma says in the Bhagavatam, because, my Lord, they have offended your lotus feet. How is the Mayavad conception an offense to the lotus feet of the Lord? Because the Mayavad conception denies the existence of a personality or a form to the Supreme Lord. So that's an offense. To say that the Lord is not a person is an offense. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was vigorously defending this Mayavad point of view some time ago with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And very expertly Mahaprabhu presented the proper Shastric conclusion, the proper Vedic teachings. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was completely flabbergasted to hear such a wonderful presentation that could refute every single point that he had made. And then he surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became a Vaishnav. And the transformation was very dramatic. When very soon after this incident, Mahaprabhu, after having taken darshan of the Lord Jagannath in the temple, he came straight to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when he knocked the door, he could hear the sound of the Bhattacharya waking up from his bed, rising, and he also heard him distinctly chant, "Krishna, Krishna." And Mahaprabhu, when Bhattacharya opened the door, Mahaprabhu was standing there and he was saying, "You see, the same person who was such a staunch Mayavadi, now the first thing upon rising in the morning is saying, Krishna, Krishna." And then when Mahaprabhu offered him the Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath, without further ado, without having brushed his teeth or washed his mouth and taken a bath and so on, he just straight away accepted the Mahaprasadam. And Mahaprabhu said, "Bhattacharya, he was such a refined, cultured Vedic gentleman, and you're taking, prasadam without even brushing your teeth, taking a bath." He said, "This is Mahaprasad. The injunction of the Shastra is we should never offend the Mahaprasadam of the Lord." So there was such a dramatic transformation. And that same Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who decried the devotees as being sentimentalists, was now didn't like to even hear the very word mukti. When in the course of the discussion one time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking about this verse, "Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapur birvidatan namaste jivetayo mukti padesabdaya bhak." This verse is again a verse of Brahma, in which Brahma placed praise to Lord Krishna and says that, "My dear Lord, if anyone endures sufferings in life, accepting them to be very humbly the results of his own karmic reactions, and very patiently waits for your mercy, all the while offering you respects, obeisances and services with his body, heart and soul, then such a person becomes the inheritor, the rightful claimant of your abode, of the spiritual world." Dayabhak. Dayabhak in the law of inheritance of Manu means that the descendants, they inherit the property of the ancestors. Automatically by law it comes to them. So the word mukti pade is used here. So Bhattacharya actually changed the word mukti to bhakti. So when he chanted the verse, he says, "Bhakti padesa daya bhak," and Mahaprabhu caught it immediately. He said, "Bhattacharya, why did you change the verse? Instead of mukti pade, you said bhakti pade. So what's the reason for that?" So Bhattacharya said, "You know, the very word mukti, I just detest it. I can't stand it." "So why?" Well, the word, I don't understand the word like that. Mukti pade refers to Krishna. Mukti pada. He at whose lotus feet all types of liberation reside. So what is the problem in saying mukti pada? Yeah. So, and in any case, you shouldn't change the words of the scripture. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, nevertheless, the word, very word mukti connotes images of merging into the impersonal, and that is such a disagreeable thought. I don't even want to think about the very idea of merging into the impersonal absolute. And this is what happens when one becomes a devotee. Kaivalyam narakayate, the thought of merging into the impersonal absolute becomes worse than hell. This is what Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says. So this is the transformation that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened. He was constantly chanting Krishna, Krishna. And therefore Mahaprabhu was happy to accept prasadam at his house regularly. Similarly, we see here in the previous verses too that a dramatic transformation happened in the consciousness of these Mayavadi sannyasis. Now these Mayavadi sannyasis were for real. They were not just casual Mayavadis. They were, as you say, hardcore Mayavadis. And they were really staunch. And they were as grave as they come, in keeping with the profile that a Mayavadi has of a sannyasi, that he should be very grave and never smiling and Om Shanti Shanti. So therefore, when Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting on the streets, that was a really unorthodox or unconventional or unusual behavior for a sannyasi as far as they were concerned. They considered Mahaprabhu to be a sentimentalist. And when they were criticizing him, and finally when they got together and they asked him that, Gosai or Swami, why are you behaving like this? A sannyasi is supposed to, chant or study the Vedanta Sutra. He's supposed to perform austerities. And here you are, chanting and dancing with the ordinary people on the streets. And you're not an ordinary sannyasi. You have been initiated into our Shankara Sampradaya because you have accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati, who is from the Bharati Sampradaya. So it doesn't behoove you to act in this way. A sannyasi should be grave, should be very serious and sober. So Mahaprabhu then explained, and we've heard this in this chapter, a beautiful explanation of why he was chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as opposed to performing the austerities and the study of the Vedanta Sutra that the Mayavadi sannyasis were engaged in. They liked Mahaprabhu's explanations a lot, and they asked him to speak more. Then very humbly Mahaprabhu took permission from them to speak about the Vedanta Sutra. He gave a brilliant exposition of the Vaishnava understanding of the Vedanta Sutra. And at the end of it, the Mayavadi sannyasis were just bowled over. Even previously, even before Mahaprabhu had begun his explanation of the Vedanta Sutra, just from that initial dialogue in which he explained his rationale for chanting the Mahamantra, they had softened up completely towards him. But by now, they were completely converted, so to speak. And as Kaviraj Goswami has explained, they were chanting Krishna, Krishna. And the verse previous to this, two verses previous, I'll read the translation. From that moment, when the Mayavadi sannyasis heard the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra from the Lord, their minds changed. And on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too chanted Krishna, Krishna, always. Mind the word always. So Kaviraj Goswami says, they always chanted Krishna, Krishna from that point on. Then, thus Lord Chaitanya excused all the offenses of the Mayavadi sannyasis and very mercifully blessed them with Krishna Naam. So he gave them the holy name of Krishna. And then after that he sat in their midst and took prasadam. In other words, these Mayavadi sannyasis were no longer Mayavadis. They had become devotees of Krishna. Therefore there was no objection now any longer in sitting in their midst and taking prasadam. He converted them first into devotees and then took prasadam with them. Speaking of Mahaprabhu's sannyas, which we alluded to just a little previously, you see, that's an interesting phenomenon also. In a couple of weeks, we will have the anniversary of Mahaprabhu's accepting of sannyas, the day after Makar Sankranti. So, The question is often asked, why did Mahaprabhu take sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi, especially when he was so vocal about avoiding sannyasi Mayavadi association? Now that may seem like a puzzle. It is often explained that Mahaprabhu did this because at that time the Vaishnavas weren't considered or weren't regarded very highly. There wasn't practically much of a Vaishnava presence, especially in northern India. In southern India, yes, because of Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vaishnavism was fairly strong. But in northern India, there wasn't much going on. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, the followers of Shankaracharya, were very well regarded and respected. And Mahaprabhu, in any case, had decided to take sannyas for the sake of preaching. Because as a householder, people didn't regard him very highly, and the students began to criticize him. And he was thinking to himself that, well, that's not right. I have come here to deliver these people, and if they start criticizing me, then they will commit such an offense. And that's not going to be helpful at all. So I better take sannyas. Because when I take sannyas, then everybody will naturally respect me. And because they respect me, they will get benefit unknowingly even. Because I'm not just a sannyasi, then I am the Supreme Lord. So they will get so much benefit. So for the sake of preaching, Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, and because that was the motive, he accepted sannyas from a Mayavadi, Keshav Bharati, who was from the Bharati Sampradaya. That is, of course, the external reason. While he accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati, he didn't accept the Mayavadi philosophy, of course. But the link was there, and Mahaprabhu didn't accept the sannyas name. He kept his name as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which is a brahmachari name. However, there is an internal aspect to this whole taking of sannyas by Mahaprabhu from Keshav Bharati. Keshav Bharati also was overwhelmed by the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even before his giving sannyas to him. And he was bewildered. He just didn't know what to do. And he was thinking of what mantra to give him. And at this time, Mahaprabhu solved the problem for him. And he reached out to him and spoke in his ears. And he chanted this sannyas mantra and said, "Is this the mantra that you want to give me and initiate me into sannyas with?" And then Keshav Bharati said, "Yes, yes." And then he spoke that mantra into Mahaprabhu's ear and initiated him into sannyas. So the confidential understanding of Mahaprabhu's sannyas, therefore, is that actually Mahaprabhu, as a Supreme Lord, first initiated Keshav Bharati Maharaj into a Vaishnava by speaking that sannyas mantra of a Vaishnava. And once Keshav Bharati became a Vaishnava, and then Mahaprabhu, now as a devotee, now he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati. So Mahaprabhu had two hats. The first hat, he acted as a Lord, where he directly can initiate anyone if he likes. Who is to stop the Lord from initiating a Mayavadi? So he actually made him into a Vaishnava. And now that Keshav Bharati Maharaj was a Vaishnav, then he initiated Mahaprabhu into sannyas. So actually that was a Vaishnava sannyas initiation. It wasn't a Mayavadi initiation. But anyway, that is the internal devotee understanding of the situation. But these Mayavadi sannyasis didn't know that. They just presumed that he was a regular Mayavadi sannyasi, and therefore they were puzzled at his behavior. But now that they had become Vaishnavas, so it was quite all right. It was perfectly legitimate for Mahaprabhu to sit with them and take prasadam. When Mahaprabhu had been on the pilgrimage to Vrindavan, to the north, he went to Varanasi and Prayag, and then eventually came to Brajabhumi, came to Mathura. All along the way, whenever he saw the Yamuna, he would jump in and take bath in ecstasy, remembering the pastimes of Krishna in Yamuna. Finally, he came to Mathura and took his bath at the place called Vishram Ghat. This is the place where one is supposed to begin the parikrama, Vrajamandal parikrama. So he took his bath there and then went to the Keshavji Mandir, which is the place where Krishna appeared. So when he took darshan of Keshavji, then he began to chant and dance in great ecstasy. And the people around were struck with wonder. They had never before seen such an exhibition of devotional ecstasy. And they marveled at Mahaprabhu's devotion and concluded that he must be none other than the Supreme Lord. Meanwhile, there was one person who was from the Sanodiya Brahmin community. He happened to be present at that point, and he also began to chant and dance ecstatically with Mahaprabhu. And this went on for quite a while. Finally, Mahaprabhu became peaceful, and he was requested, he took the old Sanodiya Brahmin, he was an elderly gentleman, he took the old Sanodiya Brahmin aside and said, "From where have you got this ecstatic love for Krishna? I am completely amazed to see this." So the Sanodiya Brahmin replied, "Actually, I got this from my spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, who happened to come here one time. And when he came here, he accepted me as his disciple. And he even came to my house and had lunch. And I had the good fortune of offering him prasadam. And then, you know, he went and established Gopal on the top of Govardhan Hill and served him there for quite a while. But then when Mahaprabhu heard this, that he was Madhavendra Puri's disciple, which means he was Ishwarapuri's godbrother. Ishwarapuri was Mahaprabhu's own spiritual master. So immediately Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to the Sanodiya Brahmin. The Sanodiya Brahmin was a simple, humble kind of man. And when he saw Mahaprabhu offering obeisances to him, then he became alarmed. So he also offered obeisances in return. And then Mahaprabhu said, No, you shouldn't offer obeisances to me. You are like my spiritual master. And you have got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And the Sanodiya Brahmin replied, No, you are a sannyasi. You shouldn't offer obeisances to me. And how did you get this ecstatic prema? I'm sure you must have had some connection with Madhavendra Puri also. So then Mahaprabhu's servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, explained the connection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Madhavendra Puri. And when the Sanodiya Brahmin heard this, he was overjoyed. And he invited Mahaprabhu to come to his house. So Mahaprabhu happily agreed. And as they sat there and had many pleasant discussions, then the Sanodiya Brahmin requested Balabhadra Bhattacharya to come inside and cook. Because you see, the sannyasis in those days, or the brahmanas, wouldn't eat from the hands of anyone except a brahmana. They would not eat food cooked by anybody else. So this was a custom. Now the question may be asked that this was a Brahmin too. He was a Sanodiya Brahmin. So why did he not cook himself initially? Why did he ask Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook? Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the Sanodiya Brahmins were a particular class of Brahmins who catered to the religious needs of a certain class of Vaishyas, who were considered a lower class of Vaishyas. So the categorization in those days was quite mind-boggling. You had so many groups and categories and who could do what and what was the etiquette, where you could eat from and where you couldn't and so on. So the Sanodiya Brahmins were considered a lower class of Brahmins, not the first class Brahmins. The first class Brahmins are those who serve other Brahmins, who are also first class. But these Brahmins, Sanodiya Brahmins, were ones who served not just the Vaishyas, but certain lower class of Vaishyas. So therefore they were not considered top class Brahmins, and therefore sannyasis would generally not eat in their homes. They would not eat food cooked by the Sanodiya Brahmins. So that's the reason for the reluctance that the Sanodiya Brahmin had. So he asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook, but Mahaprabhu said, no, no, I want to eat food cooked by you in your house. So the Brahmin replied, well, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are independent, you are free to do anything you like, but you know, it is very likely that people may criticize you for this. You may take a humble position, but for me it will be intolerable if people criticize you like this for having, shall we say, violated the etiquette and the norm for a sannyasi. So Mahaprabhu said, well, the fact of the matter is that there are many injunctions in the Vedas and the Puranas and the many statements of great saintly people, and often they contradict each other, these injunctions. The idea being that these injunctions are meant for different classes of people at different times. They are not all on the absolute platform of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport there that the reason there are different religions and there are different scriptures even within the same so-called religion is because there are people of different bodies and different minds. Because of different circumstances and mentalities of people, knowledge of God or religious principles has been explained in different ways. Therefore, there appear to be some kind of contradictions between different injunctions in the various scriptures. However, Prabhupada says, on the absolute platform of pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there is no question of any difference, because that is absolute. So Mahaprabhu went on to explain, dharma sthapana hetu sadhura vyavahar puri gosair je acharan sarva dharma sar. And this is a very important statement that he makes. The meaning of this is that a pure devotee's behavior establishes the principles of dharma, and Madhavendra Puri's behavior is actually the essence of that dharma. Dharma sthapana hetu, for the purpose of establishing dharma, sadhura vyavahar, so a genuine sadhu behaves like that or acts in a way as to establish the standards of true dharma. And because Madhavendra Puri is the ideal sadhu, the perfect sadhu, therefore everything that he has done is actually the essence of dharma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written an extensive purport to this verse, and essentially he has elaborated on one word, and that is the word Mahajan. He says that a great saint like Madhavendra Puri is to be called a Mahajan. Mahajan means a great personality. Now the Bhagavatam speaks of 12 Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Yamaraj and so on and so forth. But anyone who is a great devotee of the Lord is a Mahajan. Srila Prabhupada explains, Swarup Damodar Goswami, the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are all Mahajans. We have to accept them like that. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur cautions, however, that the word Mahajan or Mahatma is not to be understood from the point of view of a mundaner. Mahajan or Mahatma is defined in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself. Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim abhyayam. Which means that a Mahatma is a person who has unreservedly taken shelter of the divine energy of Krishna, which means Srimati Radharani. And knowing fully well that I, that is Krishna, am the absolute truth, such a person serves me with all his heart, with one pointed, undeviated attention. This is a Mahatma. And anybody who has surrendered in this fashion to Krishna is called a Mahajan or a Mahatma. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta points out that the worldly people may consider different people as Mahajans. For example, those who are materialistic people may consider some great materialists to be Mahajans, like wealthy people, industrialists, and so on. The yogis may consider Patanjali as a Mahajan. The jnanis may consider Dattatreya or the atheistic Kapila as Mahajans. The modern scientists may consider Darwin as their Mahajan, Prabhupada says. So the mundaners will have different conceptions of Mahajans, and they will glorify these persons as being great persons. But then Bhaktisiddhanta remembers that quote from the Bhagavatam, which says that those who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses praise people who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are not Mahajans, Bhaktisiddhanta says. Mahajans for us are personalities like Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. He said, Yad yad acharati sheshtas tat tat eve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Quoting from Bhagavad Gita, he said that as the leaders in society set the standard, so the common man follows. Meaning thereby that Madhavendra Puri has set the standard, and I as a common man will follow him. That was the implied meaning. Mahaprabhu, of course, is not an ordinary person. But what he's saying is that because Madhavendra Puri has set the standard, I will follow happily. And then he quotes this famous verse from the Mahabharata, which Prabhupada used to quote many times. Tarko pratishthashtutayo vipinna nasa vrishiryasya matam nabhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam Mahajano yena gata sapantha. One cannot understand the intricacies of dharma merely by argument. Neither can one do so by studying various types of books, because these speculators and so-called scholars and so on will always differ in their opinions with each other. True dharma can be understood by knowing what is in the heart of the Mahajans, in the heart of the great devotees of the Lord. Therefore, one should follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. So Mahaprabhu therefore pointed out that since Madhavendra Puri considered it quite proper to accept prasadam at your house, even though it was against the contemporary etiquette, I consider it also perfectly fine to do the same. And what was Mahaprabhu's rationale for doing it? Because he considered that this Sanodiya Brahman was a Vaishnava. He was a pure-hearted Vaishnava. And therefore all these restrictions of caste, community and etiquette and all that didn't apply here. When one becomes a Vaishnava, one goes beyond all these narrow restrictions. One shouldn't hold it against a Vaishnava that the Vaishnava has come from a certain background of caste, creed, community, nationality, religious faith, language, and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the Vaishnava was before. Now that this person has become a Vaishnava, then the Vaishnava is worthy of our respect. And we should happily be willing to take prasadam with that Vaishnava. So this was the standard that Mahaprabhu laid down in pursuance of the standard that Madhavendra Puri laid down. Therefore, now that these Mayavadi sannyasis had become Vaishnavas, it was perfectly befitting that Mahaprabhu would sit in their midst and take his meals with them. Although otherwise for a Vaishnava, it was quite against the etiquette and against Mahaprabhu's own teachings. So now that they had become pure Vaishnavas, constantly chanting the name of Krishna, Mahaprabhu was most pleased to sit with them. He had personally bestowed his mercy on them. He had personally forgiven them of all their offenses that they had committed as Mayavadis. And by his mercy, they had become pure-hearted Vaishnavas, constantly chanting the names of Krishna. So this is our principle as well. We never consider the background of a Vaishnava. In fact, the Shastras say that that is a hellish mentality. That is a wrong thing to do. It's an offense, actually. It is Vaishnava Parad as well. So if a Vaishnava, if somebody has become a Vaishnava and is following the Vaishnava principles, following the four regulative principles, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is devoted to the Lord, then we should happily accept prasadam from such Vaishnavas. That is the conclusion. So we'll stop here and we'll leave the floor open for any questions.